The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and there was an interesting football game last night and some interesting basketball and all kinds of interesting stuff. So let's just do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, Chocolate Braveheart, a.k.a. A.J. Hoffman. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. It's his chance to participate, so do Aaron a solid. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show as well, you know the number for that. You can also get on the Twitch channel, put your comments in the chat. If they're any good, we'll read them. And it's a Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Fred.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. Usually everybody's in a bad mood.
But how can you be in a bad mood when there's doubleheader maction at night?
Well, there you go.
I mean, come on.
It's impossible to be in a bad mood today. Not because of that, but just because it's a beautiful day outside, and I know it's Tuesday.
And we're going to Vegas tomorrow.
But we're going to Vegas tomorrow, so right. Yeah.
I see your hair in the back is growing.
Yeah.
You're going for sort of a Gundy look? Is that going to be the long-term goal?
No, the goal right now is just let it grow out as long as it'll grow until it gets thicker. And okay. Then I'll get a haircut and decide what style I'm going to go with.
Okay.
But right now, I'm just growing it as long as it'll go.
Okay.
So.
Because obviously it's going to grow a little slower on top than right. The back.
It's going to grow slower in the places where they put the neografts. And so so until that kind of catches up, I'm just going to let it all grow.
I think
grow.
You're going to have a Gundy here pretty soon.
I'll live with that.
Yeah.
It would be unique.
I mean, well, it'd be unique for Americans. Canadians, that's kind of like
the
national hairstyle of Canada.
Yeah, it's like the hockey player hairstyle.
Yeah.
So, no, but it is growing out nicely. It's just not there yet, but when it gets there, then I'll kind of figure out what style I'm going to go with.
But it probably won't be a Gundy long term?
No, it won't be a Gundy long term.
Okay.
But I'm going to grow it as long as I can.
As long as you can?
Yeah, where, you know, it looks reasonable.
Okay. So, I mean, you still want to maintain some professionalism.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about professionalism. I mean, listen, you burp on air. I can grow my hair long if I want to. I can get a mullet if I want. I can go full Billy Ray Cyrus at some point if I choose.
All right.
Or Miley Cyrus. I don't care. As long as I can do something. So let's not talk about professionalism. What else is happening?
Yeah, I guess just sports and stuff. I'd say it's one of those days where... Yeah, I mean, obviously, there was a good football game last night, and I think there's plenty to delve into about that.
Chiefs covered. That's all I care about.
Yeah, although I think you got pretty lucky on that thing.
I don't think so.
They literally outplayed them statistically across the board.
You can't tell me you didn't think Phillip Rivers was going to throw a pick on that last drive.
I really didn't.
I did. I called it. He said he's going to throw a pick in the end zone.
They statistically dominated them, and then Phillip Rivers threw four picks.
Four interceptions, that's a stat, too.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it back at all. I'm not feeling...
Oh, I'm not saying you should give it back. I'm just saying...
I was a little pissed at Andy Reid for taking his foot off the gas when it was a seven-point game.
Well, and it's also important. And, boy, it didn't really matter in the end. But, well, first of all, the two-minute drive, two-minute warning, and Phillip Rivers gets the ball. He's got 2 minutes to go 90 yards. In a minute and 15 seconds, they'd made it 15 yards. It's like, okay. I mean, at some point, you got to pick up the pace, bro.
Well, not only that, though, but I mean, it seemed like every play was, let's just chuck it down there and hope somebody makes a play.
Well, eventually that
worked. It did work, yeah.
And it worked with 44 seconds on the clock. And for whatever reason, they stopped the clock there.
Yeah, that was...
I didn't bet on the game one way or the other. If I would have been a Chiefs bettor, I would have been losing my mind at that moment.
I wasn't happy, but I felt like he was going to throw a pick the whole drive.
And
it was coming.
I was like, boy, that's like, there's 15, 20 seconds coming off the board here that
yeah.
should never have existed for the Chargers.
And that would have sped up when he threw the interception because he would have had less time.
Yeah. So
and that pass was so awful. I don't know.
It really was. He made a couple bonehead
throws. Hey, we're going to toss it up there. I don't care if he's covering him or not. And the worst cover guy on the Chiefs picks it off.
The guy that everybody's picked on all season long.
Yeah.
The Chiefs defense continues to be terrible. The Chargers offense was not up to taking advantage of it. At least, but they took advantage of it all except for the four picks.
Yeah.
You can't give it to them. And, I thought it was a good game. I still think the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs. They
don't look right now.
They're okay. But if they played the Raiders yesterday, they lose that game. I really think so. I think the Chiefs are a crippled version of themselves. It's like Superman without the bright yellow sun. Yeah, I mean they've not gotten the sun for a long time, and now their powers are draining, and they just look like a regular old team.
I think Patrick Mahomes is still good.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty good at sports,
and I think Travis Kelce's still really good. But when
everybody else is beat up,
When Tariq Hill can't stay on the field, that's a serious weapon that they don't have. The offensive line is still a problem, and they can't run the football the way they did when they had Kareem Hunt.
Nope.
And that's the difference between that team this year and last year.
And the defense was better last year.
I think the defense was better last year.
I mean, the defense this year is really abysmal. Last year it wasn't good, and it was bad enough that it wouldn't let them win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just awful. This is a bad defense, like a legitimately bad defense. And it's going to really cost them. But I think it makes the AFC so interesting because there's nobody who you look at and go, you know what? That's a Super Bowl contender right there.
I kind of feel that way about the Ravens right now, especially after housing the Patriots and housing the Texans.
But there's got to be some recency bias with that.
There's a little bit, but it's also some of the moves that they've made. I mean, getting Marcus Peters has made that secondary that much better. They picked up a couple of guys at linebacker that made their linebacking core better. I still think that's a weak link. The offensive line's been good all year, but they fixed some things that were problems early.
Yeah.
And I think they're a better football team now. And as long as now, if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, they're the Browns.
Robert Griffin has a lot of the same game.
I would have no faith in them as a Super Bowl team if Bob Griffin
I probably wouldn't either, yeah.
But with Jackson there and the way they're using him, absolutely. I think they're the class of the AFC right now. It doesn't mean they will be in 3 weeks because a month ago, Kansas City was the class of the AFC.
Well, I mean, a month ago, the Patriots were still undefeated, and they were the class of the AFC.
Well, the Chiefs hadn't lost until that Colts game.
The Patriots are still a one-loss team.
And the Chiefs had beaten the Ravens.
But they don't feel like the class of the AFC.
No, they don't.
They just feel like a team they're getting by.
When you talk about best wins, when you look at the Patriots' schedule,
their best win is probably at the Eagles, what they just got, 17-10 at the Eagles.
Then they'll probably beat that if they beat the Cowboys this week.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they will. You know, Roger brought up Honey Badger dropped an easy interception.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
By the way, can we just admit that guy's not that good? He got an interception early, but, man, you can beat him.
I thought that's your guy.
I loved him, and I liked when the Texans signed him. He didn't play as well as I thought he would, but he played pretty well. But he hasn't played well for them this year. I mean, Nick says if the Chiefs played the Ravens last night, they'd get smoked just like Houston. I don't think it'd be that bad. I think they would have scored some points because while every quarterback has a bad game, I don't know how many times you could look at Patrick Mahomes and say, boy, that was an awful game.
No, not
many. Has he had a game like Deshaun had Sunday in his career?
Ooh.
I don't know that he has. I mean, he's had games where he was off. He wasn't that great against the Colts. But, I mean, that to me is the one kind of difference. I think he would score some points. But, yeah, I do think the Ravens would house him right now. But let's see what happens if guys get hurt. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. But as of today, I think the Ravens are the best team.
Yeah.
But, and Phillip Rivers, I know that the natural thing is, maybe it's time for him to retire. He hasn't had the year he did last year, but last year was one of the best years of his career. So I don't know if it was reasonable to expect him to repeat that. But I also think it goes to a kind of a different issue. I think we're kind of seeing the last of the non-mobile quarterbacks. It's like because it just seems like if you don't have that running dimension anymore, and you're one-dimensional, defenses can stop you. And, yeah, you can throw for a lot of yards, but you're also going to turn the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that last night. And what are the Chiefs doing getting four interceptions? I mean, come on. They're not that good back there.
That was last night was the, at least in the last 2 years, it was the second lowest rated game of his career. So.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
There's no way around it.
And you're right, though, about the pace with that team. They've got to figure out a way. And I think a lot of that's, you know, Anthony Lynn, and let's go slow so our defense doesn't have to do as much. And that's fine, but I think you've got enough talent on defense. You can.
I mean, I think your defense is probably the strength.
It is. So, yeah.
Because Philip Rivers clearly isn't the old Philip Rivers anymore. And he's still got weapons.
Yeah.
Their offensive line sucks. But
well, and that's been a big problem for them, but they've still got a really good tight end. They've still got really good outside receivers,
two good running backs. I mean, he's got all the weapons you could want.
I think, and here's unpopular opinion, I think they're better when Eckler's in there over
Gordon.
I do too.
Here's another thing. His receivers is, and you know, four interceptions is four interceptions, pretty unexcusable. His receivers dropped a lot of passes last night that hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
I mean, including some in key situations like Keenan Allen on a third down, which hits him in the hands.
Almost never happens with him in that situation.
Melvin Gordon, I mean, just drops a pass that probably would have gotten him 10, 15 yards. I mean, Philip Rivers didn't do himself any favors, but nobody else was doing him favors either.
Yeah, where I do think the Chiefs were lucky was, boy, did Andy Reid turtle up there at the end of the game. I mean, how many times did they throw that high screen pass to LeSean McCoy?
Well, and the one time it got him blown up.
Yeah, and almost got the guy killed. And it's like, okay, you know, don't you have some other plays you might want to run here and try to get another touchdown or a field goal even so that you're not going to be in a one-score game? So as much as I love Andy Reid, I was like, what the hell are you doing? It was almost like, okay, 7 points is going to be enough. I guess he thought like I did, oh, Rivers is going to throw another interception.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't bank on that. I'm just going to tell you, having seen that in Houston a lot where, oh, let's bank on the other team screwing up.
Not a great strategy.
Although I guess with the Chargers, it's kind of, you almost expect it now.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much been every game. And I think it was interesting they kept talking about every single loss was a one-score loss this year. And that comes down to coaching, man.
Well, it feels every Philip Rivers thing, every game feels the same. He's going to get the ball with a two-minute drive to try to win the game. And it happened again last night.
Or try something.
Yeah. He's got to make a long drive, and it almost always ends the same way with him pulling both the straps on his chin strap at the same time. And dadgummit! I mean, basically, it's every game ends that way, it seems.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point, you know, that you look at that team and you say, man, they should be better than this.
Yeah.
But they're not. And yeah, it's not an accident when you keep losing close games. It really isn't. And maybe that's a wrong perception, because I feel like it can be an accident when you win a bunch of close games. But at some point, when you lose this many, I just feel like there's a flaw.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's some kind of flaw, whether it's the head coach or whether it's Philip Rivers or a combination of the two. All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you about a winner, Whitmire's Distillery. And you know all their great products, Space City Vodka. They got the brand new rye bourbon blend. You can get that at liquor stores all over the city. And it is fantastic if you haven't had a chance to try it yet. But the really cool thing you can do, and we did this last week when we were out there, we did a barrel pick. And basically, we tried three ryes and three bourbons, all from different barrels. And then we all picked and we bottled it. And so now it's available and you can go out to the distillery and get it. They still have a few left. But take your company out there for your Christmas party. Say you got about 15 people at work for you. How about you book your Christmas party out there or your holiday party, whatever you do, and do a barrel pick and let the employees get in there and help pick one. They'll bottle it for you right there. You can buy your own barrel choice. How about that? You can also tour Whitmire's. Go out there anytime on the weekends. Take that tour, and you can also buy it there. Get Whitmire's at Specs, Fiesta, all the other liquor stores all over the city. Go visit them today, 16711 Hollister in Houston. Houston's first distillery is Houston's best distillery, Whitmire's.com. Need to know your place, 'cause it's about to get heavy.
on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri Eagle Energy. And, guys, this is the kind of company you want to do business with. It can be a painful experience to switch over your energy provider. Tri Eagle, they make it simple. They are not giving you any gimmicks. There's no surprises on your bill. It's a simple fixed rate, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. And like for me, we got the renewable energy plan, the 100% renewable energy, so it's totally green. You feel good about yourself. How about that? And it's not much more than the old-fashioned energy plan. Guys, they've got something for everyone, and they're not trying to pull any wool over your eyes. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. And they've got a discount for our listeners. All you got to do, use the promo code ESPN when you sign up, and you'll save money off their already great rates. 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT number 10064.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple of very quick TV things, and I want to tell you two things I think you're wrong about.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Personally?
Yeah, you personally.
Okay.
First off, two episodes of Rick and Morty season 4. It's classic Rick and Morty. So if you haven't watched it yet, you'll love it. And Watchmen finally hooked me with episode 5.
It's good.
I think you'd like it. It's the same guy who did The Leftovers, so it's got a lot of Leftovers type stuff in it. And this episode was fantastic. The other four I've kind of been like, I like it, you know, not really totally hooked, but after episode 5, I'm hooked. So I think you'd like that one because you like The Leftovers better than I did. So I thought The Leftovers was great the first season and just went downhill from there. And this may do the same thing. But so far, so good. All right, so two things. First off, you always say how much the Rockets aren't fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching this team with Russell Westbrook. This is a lot more fun team to watch.
Oh, it's way more fun than it has been in recent years, certainly.
The pace they're playing at is much more interesting. He adds a different dimension. And I don't like either one of these guys personally, but that's not it. Am I enjoying the games, though? They're a lot more interesting to turn on Rockets games now than it has been in the past.
Agreed. I won't argue that. The last couple of years, it's been abysmal. It's boring. It's dreadful. Like I'm not saying it's not effective. I've never said, like, James Harden's always been effective. I mean, he's a great scorer. He's just a boring player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that continues. But he's having his best scoring year ever. He is as boring as ever. But
now, see, I'm going to disagree with that a little bit. I think the way that some of the shots that he's getting that Westbrook is setting up.
Oh, you mean all the shots he's getting from the free throw line? That's what's exciting for you?
No, I mean, but yeah, you're never changing your opinion to that, so I'm not going to.
I'm not.
Try.
That's not an opinion. It's a fact. He shoots more free throws than anybody.
He does.
Damn near double.
But the snoring part is an opinion.
No.
So.
I would guess people watching free throw shooting, it's a pretty highly shared opinion that it's not that fun.
No, but every team shoots free throws. I mean, if you want to eliminate those from the game, fine. I'm all for it. But I do think he's doing some things different. He's not shooting as well as he has in the past. He starts making some shots. The guy's going to be averaging 40 points a game. He almost is now. But I do think that Westbrook has added something to this team that makes it a lot more fun to watch. And, yes, he's still James Harden, but there's some elements now that are starting to develop that are a lot better than him leaning into guys and getting fouls. That's still happening. That's not going to go anywhere. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that do that. They don't do it as often or as well is the difference.
Okay.
But I will, so far, there's a long way to go, and I still am not ready to judge this team yet, but they're a lot more interesting to watch. Does it make them good?
I mean, I don't think they're bad.
I don't know what they are yet in terms of, because listen, who cares about the regular season? Let's just throw that out there. The whole thing is, what will they be in the playoffs?
Right.
And I don't know. And I probably won't know, like I said, until December. But as far as, hey, it's Monday night, I'm going to flip between the football game and the basketball game. It's kind of fun to watch them play right now.
Okay.
So there's that.
I mean, to me, what like the numbers, if you just look at the box scores, what James is doing is amazing, I think. I mean, it's undeniable, really. It's a ridiculous stat line that he's putting up night in, night out. But he's also, I mean, he's making over 5 free throws per game more than the second highest free throw shooting guy in the league. He's the only guy who is making double-digit free throws per game.
And there's nothing sexy about that, but there is a skill to it, to getting to the line that much.
Sure.
And his free throw percentage is, I believe.
It's called flopping.
See.
Are you going to say James Harden doesn't flop? No, I dare you to say
I'm not going to say he doesn't flop, but let's not act like every time he goes to the free throw line, it's a flop.
Okay.
Really? Every single time?
Come not on, every Hoffman. Time, but enough.
Oh, geez.
And the guy is still 90. He's 97th in the league in field goal percentage.
And
he shoots more than anyone and is 97th in the league in percentage. That's the opposite of efficiency.
Well,
and then all the stats say, because he shoots so many free throws, oh, he's a very efficient player. Okay. I guess if being a good free throw maker makes you the most efficient player in the league, cool. It's just not for me. It's not fun for me.
Well, I do think his percentage will go up as the season goes on.
I would hope.
And if it doesn't, then yeah. But it's not every single time he flops. Come on, man.
All right.
Exaggerate much? He does flop. But, you know, a lot of players flop.
They do. I don't like them either.
Your beloved LeBron flops.
Okay.
He does.
LeBron also spent his entire career not getting calls when he should have.
Not his entire career. I think that turned around about 4 years ago. I think that's kind of a... He did early in his career. Agreed.
People were hammering that dude, but because he was so much bigger and stronger than everyone, they treated it like Shaq. Like, oh, we're not calling that.
Shaq laughs at that because that was his whole career.
Yeah,
and but that changed on LeBron about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, I'm not buying that now. And then the other one. Well, I don't know if we have time because we only got 2 minutes left in the segment. Another one is I wanted to get to. I want to get back to college football.
Okay.
Because of something.
I'm wrong about something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that you're wrong. I just think it's one of those things that if you really look at it, okay, maybe you overstated things.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine.
So, 713.
Is that a radio tease?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a radio tease.
Okay.
If you're interested at all in college football and the playoff top four, which will be announced later today.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to make a stronger case for something that you utterly dismissed.
Okay. ProDunkHoops.com. I'm going to make a case for them as the best basketball goals in the whole world. I know because there's one in my front yard, and my kids are loving it. They're out there every single day playing. They're out there in the rain playing. That's how much fun they're having. It's the nicest goal I've seen, outside of an NBA gym. I mean, that's the quality that it is. It's the thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than what you can get in the big box stores. They've got a tempered glass backboard, so strong, Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason ever, they'll replace it for free. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version called the Bear. Whatever your needs are, they've got it. And they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle, so any age can play. My younger son and my older son play on different heights, so they can both have fun. They can both make shots. Get your new hoops goal today. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
The
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 281 asks, Eastern Michigan and NIU tonight taking the over. Any thoughts? I know it's boring, but it's money. Hey, it's gambling.
Yeah.
Not always boring. I don't have any opinion on the football tonight. And then somebody asked, what about Rice plus 13 against UH, or am I overreacting? I don't think you're overreacting. I think the UH we're going to see in January is not anywhere near what they are right now. They're very talented, but they lost a ton of experience. And it's at Rice. I don't think Rice is very good. I think UH wins, but I wouldn't fault you for being on that side of it. AJ can speak to that better than I can, but I wouldn't take UH minus 13.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I do have a hockey play for the people.
All right.
Little over tonight. And it's another one on the surface you're going to look at and go, what's he thinking? Boston, New Jersey, over 5.5. And they've only played one time this year, and Boston shut them out 3-0. So you're going to look at that and go, what the hell is he talking about? Well, New Jersey couldn't score for the first week of the season. They played much better. They give up over 3 goals a game. Now they just got rid of one of their goalies who's been awful, but the kid that they're trotting out there, they're burning to death. And Boston, before their last game when they played the Leafs, who are terrible right now, I might add, was playing like garbage. So I think 5.5 seems like a very square number. I will take the over. So good luck. It's number 48 on your board. I wanted to go to a Golden Knights game while we're there.
Okay.
They play at home Thursday night. Sounds great, right?
Right.
Yeah, got to do the Texans for Sports Map, so I can't go to the game.
What do you mean you got to do? Oh, you got to watch the game?
I got to watch the game and write.
I mean, you can't make somebody else do that?
No, nobody, because it's my column. How can somebody else write my column? Yeah, got to do my job. That's okay. Saturday night, Knights at home. We have to fight to go to.
Yeah.
So I kind of got to do that. Where I screwed up.
So is the fight in the Grand Garden? Is that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in the Grand Garden because T-Mobile is, unless I read the schedule wrong. But what I didn't bother to do was check and see who they played tonight. So I could have gone out a day early.
The Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm. What an idiot I am. So
they got 3 games in a row at home?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we've been wanting to go to a game there, and it just never works out. And this time, it like almost works out. But, I mean, they're there. It's just it doesn't fit with what we're doing. See, if damn Texans would just play on Sunday, then it'd have been all good. So, yeah, they play the Sharks Thursday, and then the one I'd really like to go to is the Oilers on Saturday. I'd like to see Connor McDavid in person, even though the Oilers are not anything special.
Yeah.
All right, so the other thing that I teased. So yesterday when we were talking about Alabama, you said Alabama sucks. That was your
I didn't say they suck.
You did
I just
say
said
that.
They don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
No, you did say they sucked. You specifically. And then we had to get on to other stuff. Go find it because
there's
there.
No tape that says where I say Alabama sucks. I just say Alabama's not that they're not good enough to be in the finals.
Well, and you were comparing them to Utah and Oregon, which okay.
Yeah.
But let's back off a little bit on how they're not very good, because number one, where would you rate their receiver core among
the best?
Okay. Where would you rank Najee Davis among running backs?
He's good.
So
where would you rank their defense, Fred?
Their defense isn't as awful as you want to make them out to be.
Yes, they are. They gave up, how many points did they give up there? How many yards did they give up to LSU? 700?
They gave up 46 points to LSU, which, guess what? That's an elite offense, maybe the best in the country. Was it a good performance? No. But you know how many times they've given up more than 13 points the rest of the season? Twice.
Well, once was to South Carolina. How many yards did they give up in that game? Do you remember?
That's when before South Carolina had all their people hurt.
459 yards of offense to South Carolina. 459. And here's the other question. How good's their quarterback?
Well, here's my response to that. Who cares? They were winning national championships with donkeys at quarterback.
That's when they had a legit defense.
That's when they had legitimate receivers legitimate running backs and a legitimate offensive line.
And a legitimate defense, which they don't have.
I think their defense isn't up to Alabama standards, but I don't think they're awful.
Is that the defense that gave up 476 yards to Ole Miss? Same one?
Yeah, well, how many yards did Ole Miss put up last week?
against.
I mean, against LSU.
Yeah. Who's another? Who else? If I said has a bad defense.
See, I think the difference is that they lost a lot of guys that were first round talent, which they do every year, and maybe they haven't replaced them as much.
And then they lost Dylan Moses early in the season, and
but
that was huge.
There's still talent there. So
there's talent there, but they're not a good defense. Like so there's a difference between having a good defense and having talent on defense.
I don't think it's fair to say they're not a good defense. I mean, they're still shutting teams down in the SEC for the most part. So I think are they an elite Alabama defense? No. I mean, I'll accept that point. But the reality is, and I'm going to tell you right now, if it comes down to one loss Utah and one loss Alabama, Alabama's getting in.
I don't think so. And I would go back to the age-old question of what's Alabama's best win?
Well, then you're going to have to tell me what Utah's best win is.
I'm guessing it's better than Texas A&M.
Well, you got to put Auburn in there because we're assuming they went out and beat Auburn.
Okay. Well,
so Auburn and Aggie is it as good as Washington and Oregon? It's probably comparable. Auburn beat Oregon.
Yeah, but who outplayed who that entire game?
Well, the reality is they lost.
Okay.
I mean, and hey, I give them credit for playing that game. But, you know, bottom line's a bottom line.
All right.
You can't just say, oh, well, they outplayed them. They should have won. We'll put them in. If Alabama houses Auburn, then that's your comparable.
And Utah has had their one loss is a game that they statistically controlled. And they lost. It's still a loss. They statistically dominated the game. Alabama's one loss, the game was much closer than the final score. The final score was much closer than the game was. I mean, it took everything for Alabama to even get back and make that game look respectable.
But they still did it.
They did.
And that's the thing. You can't just dismiss that.
And at the end of the day, if Utah has one loss, it's going to say Utah, 11-1, 12-1, Pac-12 champions, and Alabama would not have even played in their conference championship game. And I'm telling you, Alabama fatigue is a real thing, not just amongst
listen,
fans.
I don't want to see them in there. I just think you're wrong about this because the committee freaking loves them, just like they love Oklahoma. And for them to get in, Oklahoma's going to have to lose too because they'll put a one-loss OU in there over Alabama, and I don't think they deserve it. But that's what you know, that
I would well,
and I do think that there's an inherent distrust of the Pac-12, and rightfully so. I mean, what would the spread be? Alabama, Utah, right now. If you try to tell me Utah's going to be favored, I'm going to laugh you off the show.
I don't know what it would be without Tua. Utah might be favored.
All right, I'm laughing you off the show.
You can laugh, but that's, I mean.
Well, and that's the thing. If this guy comes out and sucks and they lose to Auburn, then it's not even a discussion. But if he plays pretty well, which, I mean, I don't know how he's going to play. I think he'll be all right. They've got enough talent around him. If you can just hand the ball off, he'll be fine. But Alabama would be favored over Utah.
I don't think it wouldn't be by more than a touchdown. I can tell you that. And without Tua, I mean, I'm betting it's four, maybe.
But they'd still be favored.
But also, if you take their name off of it, are they better? Would they beat Utah? I think no. Without Tua, I think Utah would beat Alabama.
I don't. Again, though, I need to see how this kid plays. But and it may be he's a total donkey. And yeah, you're right. They don't have the elite defense they've had in the past. But there's enough talent around him. They'll be fine.
There's plenty of talent around him. They've got.
Listen, I want him to lose to Auburn. I want him to lose their bowl game. I hate Nick Saban. I want him to suck. But I also think, realistically, I mean, they were destroying teams before they played LSU. And that's, you know, and granted, the schedule is not great, comparatively speaking. For an SEC schedule, they got off light this year. But, you know.
And now they won't have, at the end of the year, they won't have their, what they normally have, an SEC championship game to put them over the top.
Well, most years they don't really need the SEC championship.
And honestly, at this point, God, that Auburn win looks less and less impressive to me.
But see, that's the problem, though, is you're gonna have to compare that directly to Oregon playing Auburn.
And that's Oregon, the first game of the season Oregon played. They've won every game since. And we know how this works, Fred. If you're going to lose, lose early.
No, I agree, but put Oregon in, let's say give Oregon Auburn's schedule. What's their record?
I have no idea.
It's more than one loss.
It's not a one-loss schedule, certainly. Give Alabama Auburn's schedule.
I don't know, because the only team they played that's on their level, they lost to. So I don't know.
My guess is they'd lose a couple more, especially without Tua. They'd lose a couple more.
No, but they,
and honestly,
they
I don't even without, know if Alabama's going to beat Auburn.
They weren't without Tua until this week.
I would bet Auburn, the Alabama will be less than a field goal against Auburn. That's what the spread will be.
I think in part because Auburn sure does get a lot of love when it comes to the spread. I mean, they were, 3-point dogs to Georgia?
And it'll be at Auburn. There'll be no Tua. I'm telling you, the respect for Alabama without Tua, it's going to go away because they know he covered up a lot of problems on that defense.
I think you're misreading how people are going to look at Alabama. They're still going to see that friggin' elephant. And if they beat Auburn and do it convincingly, then they're not going to miss a beat without Tua.
So if somehow they beat Auburn, would then be a 4-loss team, people would say, you know what, that's their signature win. Let's put them in the playoff based on that.
But that's what I'm going to come back with. Okay, well, that's
Utah would have beat a 1-loss Oregon. A 1-loss Oregon.
And that'll be their best win.
Yeah,
and
which is better than any win Alabama has.
Except for the team that beat Oregon early in the season.
Well, if you want to do that, then South Carolina is better than Georgia now.
No, but that's how they do it.
How are we going to
put
in Georgia? They lost to South Carolina, who beat Alabama, or Alabama beat them, so now Alabama's ahead of Georgia, too.
No, again, because that's not how the committee looks at things, and you know that. You're taking it into the ridiculous
argument.
They're
looking at, when they look at Oregon playing Auburn, they're going to say, oh, Oregon tested themselves non-conference. What Alabama do non-conference? Here, let me Google that. Oh, Duke. Ooh, New Mexico State. Ooh, West Carolina. Ooh, we should really reward these guys. Come on, Fred.
Where were the other Oregon wins? After Auburn.
The other
non-conference games.
I'll pull it up. I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, I think playing Auburn trumps playing Duke, New Mexico State, and West Carolina. Nevada, Montana are their other two.
Okay. So the same kind of crap.
Nevada's the same kind of crap?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we're just watching different football then. I mean, Nevada to
me...
Nevada
had no chance against Oregon. Come on.
They're a respectable Mountain West Conference team. That's a lot different than playing New Mexico State in West Carolina. I mean, come on.
West Carolina's a joke. And so is Montana, though. That's a joke. The reality is, listen, when they scheduled Duke was actually good. And that's part of the problem with scheduling 10 years in advance. Because Alabama, usually consistently year in, year out, plays a big game to start the season. It just so happens last year it was, Louisville, who collapsed and weren't any good. And this year it was Duke, who, you know, a few years ago was almost beating Aggie in a chicken bowl.
And if you're in Montana, maybe a joke, they're 9-2, and they're going to be in the FCS playoff. I'm guessing West Carolina might not make it.
Okay.
Things aren't looking great for them.
Especially since you think Nevada's better than Duke?
Probably, yeah.
Hmm. I think the reality is, I think you're looking at it from a very different perspective than what the committee's going to look at it from.
They've said time and again... The most important thing for them is going to be conference championship.
They say that, but then what do? They put in. They always put in the teams that they consider sacred cows.
Yeah.
Alabama's a sacred cow, man. And yes, I want to make this clear. I freaking hate Alabama. I'm sick of them. I want them to lose to Auburn. I would pay real money if they would lose to Auburn, and then we don't have this discussion. But I guarantee you, if it comes down to, and a lot else has to happen. I mean, LSU has to beat Georgia, which I don't think is a given. I mean, the easiest thing in the world would be Georgia to beat LSU. Both of them are in. Boom, done. No discussion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that...
It would make it easiest, certainly.
Because I don't think you can compare one-loss Alabama to one-loss Georgia.
No.
Because Georgia's had a much tougher schedule.
Yeah. And so, Georgia would have beaten LSU. They would have beaten Notre Dame.
That's where it's more comparable.
They'd have three or four wins better than Alabama's best win.
And that's where they're comparable because they're playing in the same conference, even if it is on different sides. And Georgia's schedule much tougher. But... Man, you look at the Pac-12, and it's just, I mean, USC's not any good. I mean, none of those teams are anything special. And I guarantee you that's something they're going to look at. So, all due respect, I'm rooting for it not to happen. I don't want to ever see, in fact, if Alabama never got back into the playoffs,
Well, that's definitely
I'd be
not
happy.
Gonna happen.
No, I want it to happen.
But I think they're
I want it to happen. I want Nick Saban to go off and retire and never come back.
I think the committee has been waiting for a time where they can say, you know what, they didn't deserve it this year and leave them out, and I think this is their best chance to do that. Because otherwise, they're going to be under a lot of heat for why are they always in?
But that's
why are they always in?
Honestly, you're thinking like you would think, like a rational person would think. But man, come on, you've seen this committee now for years and how they do things. They say, oh, I don't think there's at all. They'd like it to be clean and safe, and let's put the big names in there and not worry about anything else. They'd love for that. And believe me, they're rooting for something where they don't have to have this discussion. Because at the end of the day, they're going to come back and throw... Did I just drop it in at the end of the day? Shame Bell me for that.
At the end of the day.
They're going to come back.
Shame.
They'll come back and say, oh, look at the name on the front of the jerseys. And that's what they do. That's why Ohio State gets in over TCU and Baylor. Deservedly so, I might add. But you flip the jerseys, would that happen?
No.
No. I mean, that's just how they operate, and that's fine. But I don't think there's a fatigue there with them. They just don't want to have to make that decision. Somebody says, if Georgia beats LSU and both get in, how do you rank them? Because I would say
Georgia 3, LSU 4.
And, I mean, that's head-to-head. So I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do that. And plus, it makes
and
a lot...
And they avoid a rematch.
So you get Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson, Georgia.
Yeah.
Boy, Clemson, Georgia would be a hell of a game.
Yeah.
What would you put the spread on that?
Probably Clemson 4. Maybe Clemson all the way up to 6, maybe. Inside of a touchdown, though.
That'd be an interesting game. That I guarantee I'd bet the under on that.
Yeah.
With those two defenses. All right. I just wanted to rile you up a little bit. And, guys, if you want to get in on that action tonight, or the basketball, or you want to get in on the hockey play I gave you, it's all at mybookie.ag. And if you're new and you want to get started, sign up today. Use promo code radio. You'll get an exclusive double your money offer. And where you can get up to $1,000 to wager with. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And the cool thing is when you win, you get paid. Nobody pays out faster. A lot of these sites I've had issues with in the past, not these guys. When I win and I want my money, it's right there. And they've got in-game wagering. You've got all kinds of opportunities to play whatever sport you want. They've even got horses on there, which I play a lot of the times. And the other really cool thing is, if you're already on MyBookie, just keep an eye out on your email, because they're all the time offering you great reload bonuses. They're offering you bonuses that on special events. And make sure you pick the one that's right for you. Just go to MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh. No one not regular. No, I'm not regular, ooh. We're no regular, ooh. We're no regular.
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Just having a little fun. I disagree with people who think you're trying too hard and being ridiculous. I mean, I think it's you can make a really good case both ways. Here's my final point, is what is the goal of the playoff committee in your mind?
Is to get the four most deserving teams in.
Is that what...
I mean, that's what the goal on paper is,
but
certainly.
What do they really do?
They're looking to make money.
Exactly. And who's going to sell more commercials? Whose TV ratings are going to be better?
Certainly Alabama.
And, you know, I think... And that's why it's going to be hard for a Baylor, a TCU... you know, it would have been hard for Minnesota. If you're not a big name and they have an opportunity to take a big name, I think they're going to do it every time. I don't think it's right. I think if you win the Pac-12 with one loss, especially this year, we should be arguing you or one loss Oklahoma. That's what we should be doing. But I almost guarantee if it comes down to that.
Well, and there's a reason I've been consistent about the Pac-12 is more deserving than the Big 12 of a team this year, because I know people look at me as the guy who's always on the big schools, but when you watch these games, you can't watch Utah play and then watch Oklahoma play and go, you know what? At Oklahoma, they're just better. They're not. They're not better than Utah. They're not. I don't think they're better than Oregon. But I don't think, you know, I don't know for a fact that Utah's better than Alabama. They may not be. Mac Jones may be the real deal, and he may come in and just and torch everything. But I do think that they're going to look at, oh, this team lost their best player, and we're not going to downgrade them. We're going to just assume that they'll be fine because they beat Auburn. I just can't imagine they do that.
That's not what they're going to look at. That's all I'm saying. They're going to look at the name on the front of the jerseys, and they're going to say, oh, boy, a lot more people are going to tune in to see Alabama than is going to tune in to see Utah. Just like they did, just like Ohio State. And if Ohio State doesn't get in, they'll be looking at Penn State.
How many points do you think Tua was worth to a point spread?
Well, I think, for one thing, I think college quarterbacks have more impact on a spread than pro quarterbacks. I'll tell
you what my power ratings say after you tell me what Tua's worth, because I haven't redone it since Tua got hurt.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know, because I don't know the difference between him and the kid backing him up. Okay. All I've got is a half of football where they didn't do much of anything.
What I had pre-injury was Alabama 7.5 points better than Utah in a neutral.
Okay. See, I would have...
So whatever you think Tua's worth, that you subtract that from 7.5... That's what I think they are now.
See, I would guess about 6 points.
That would be my guess.
But I don't, and that's the thing. You always have to look at the difference between him and the guy behind him. And I don't know where to rank him yet, because I haven't seen enough of him. I do know that, you know, he's pretty highly regarded, but that doesn't mean anything. We see 5-star guys all the time who are donkeys, but maybe he isn't.
I'll be honest, and this is someone who said at the beginning of the year Georgia's going to win the national championship. The more and more I watch, to me it's going to be either Ohio State or Clemson. And I think that's who's going to play in the final game. I think that's going to be the national championship game.
I might take it a step farther. I think Ohio State wins the whole thing. And I like Clemson. I think you're right.
Clemson's defense is so elite that I won't count them out of anything. They've got the best defense. And Ohio State's the best. Probably the best combo team. But then I also think about what Trevor Lawrence is capable of. And it's not like he can't go out there and be Trevor Lawrence of last year and just dominate everything. It's possible.
It is. He hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done it.
Yeah, he hasn't done it yet. But
not consistently anyway.
But you know what? Remember who we were saying the same thing about? Boy, Deshaun Watson hasn't been as good this year. He's turned the ball over a lot more.
Yeah.
Than what happened when they got to the championship. And I think you could see that. But I think the thing about Ohio State is there's just no weaknesses on that team. And again, they haven't played anybody yet to be tested. And Clemson really hasn't been tested other than the one time either. But at least they were tested once.
Yeah.
And they came through. So I need Ohio State to get punched in the mouth. I just don't know. I don't know that anybody can get close enough to them to punch them in the mouth. I mean, they're just such a – they're like a cheat code right now, man. I mean, they can score in every kind of way possible. Defensively, and they may have the best defensive player in the country, and they're just loaded. And I think it'll be real interesting to see. And the thing is, you don't know until they actually play, especially when you get to, you know, because the quality of competition is always hard to judge between conferences. And I know Clemson, when you look at the ACC, ACC is awful. And, you know, so it's real easy to look at that and say, well, they're not, but they're looking so good doing it. So's Ohio State. But I'll tell you what, about – before the last three games, Oklahoma was looking like that. Hey, they're not playing anybody, but they're crushing everybody. And they got punched in the mouth.
Lamont said, because I talked about Oregon or Utah being, if they beat Oregon, a big name school, win a Power 5 conference championship, they should be in. And he said, you mean like Baylor and TCU? I have audio of you clowning TCU and Baylor the second year of college playoffs when it was a chance they could get in. Lamont, that's totally different for many reasons. A, that Baylor team and that TCU team weren't as good as the other four teams in front of them. They didn't deserve it. I don't care what name is on the jersey. I'm telling you, those teams weren't that good. The other thing is, those teams,
you know what, they
didn't play a conference championship
and
game.
And they did it. They did get the right team in.
They did. The team that won the whole thing.
Because the fourth team was Ohio State, yeah.
And if Baylor and TCU would have played a championship game, maybe one of them gets in. I don't know. I doubt they would have put one in over Ohio State, because I think Ohio State was better than either one of those teams. But I don't care if, I mean, if you win a major conference, you have one loss, no losses, you should be in the discussion. It doesn't mean that you're automatically in.
Well,
what was more impressive that year, being a one-loss Big Ten team or being a one-loss Big 12 team?
Back to the conversation we had last week. Undefeated Baylor this year would be Power 5 conference champion. You wouldn't have had him in there.
I wouldn't have.
So, I'm just saying.
What do I always say? Play a non-conference schedule. Especially if you know your conference is weak, and the Big 12 this year is weak.
Well, it's hard for me to punish Matt Rhule for what schedules Art Briles did, basically. Yeah, because it's a fair criticism, because they didn't play anybody, but that was a criticism of Briles before he became rapey. They never played anybody. And that came back to bite them that year, no question. And if it had come back to bite them this year, you'd be like, well, you know what? They probably don't deserve it, but by the same token, it's not really their fault.
Yeah.
You know, he inherited the schedule.
And as good as I think Clemson is, if they lose a game down the stretch, their conference is so weak, they shouldn't be in. I would let not that I think a one-loss Utah or one-loss Oregon is better than Clemson, but they would have a better resume than Clemson because Clemson has no wins that make you go, oh.
But if they win the conference, I think they're still going to put them in because they're defending champs. You know that. I
mean, boy,
again, it gets back to my whole Alabama thing. They are going to pay attention to who will. If it's close and you can make a case for teams that will get television ratings, guess what? That's what's going to happen. My opinion. I could be wrong. I have been before. Not recently, but I have been before.
We'll know what they're leaning towards certainly tonight.
But they change those things so much. I mean, this is to get attention and get people talking about it, which is great. That's what we're doing.
And here's what I'll say, no matter what, wherever they have Utah, Oregon, and Oklahoma, in comparison to Alabama, you have to remember that when all the regular season games are played, Oklahoma will probably play Baylor one more time, and Utah and Oregon will play each other, and that's going to be one more solid data point for either one of those teams that Alabama won't have a chance to match.
And that's completely fair, but again, I think they'll look at it and say, all right, here's this comparison. And in the end, if it comes down to, all right, what's going to be the more interesting television matchup?
I mean, that's possible. And if it is, that's pretty crazy.
Well, we're way over.
Okay.
But it is crazy, but you can't dismiss it.
I don't dismiss it. I could certainly see him doing it. But if you're asking me who are the four most deserving teams, there's no way now for me to justify saying Alabama's one of those four deserving teams, because their resume doesn't say that they are. And they're without their best player.
Yeah, well, let's see what difference that makes, because, I mean, there's still an awful lot of talent on that roster.
Well, we won't know because they play West Carolina this weekend.
Well, yeah, this weekend we won't know, but we will in 2 weeks.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about CBDMD.com. These guys have really changed the game for CBD. I was spending a ton of money, and it's sort of an embarrassing amount of money on CBD because it's not cheap. But CBDMD, they've got great, clean, safe products, and they price compare their products to the other guys right there on their website. I'm saving a ton of money, and it is working for me. Since I started using CBD Freeze after my workouts, I've never felt better. It's like a roll-on menthol blend, and it takes away any kind of pain that I've been having. And if you don't know about CBD, look, trust me, I've been an advocate of it a long time. I think there's a lot of benefits to it. But check it out on their website. They've got a lot of the benefits lined out for you right there. To make it even easier to see what they can do for you, CBDMD is offering all our listeners 20% off their first order at CBDMD.com. Use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com. Promo code ESPN975 at checkout.
Just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.